Good morning, everyone. I'm R.W. Estella with a word in Edgewise. Today is the 24th of February, the synchronously 55th day of 2025, leaving us a robust 310 days in our journey to 2026. Some of us have spent a good part of the past 2 months working outside, coping with the snow and the cold, which helps us develop a sense of appreciation for the warmth and shelter available indoors, as quality is always a matter of contrast. Here in Maine, our incremental gains in snowfall depth had, by the end of this past week, provided a landscape conducive to reflection, whether from the perspective of peering out from within a protected space, or perhaps trudging about the tundra's often unbroken top layer of snow, marveling at how the combination of frozen precipitation and appallingly low ambient temperatures could completely transform one's approach to the surrounding environment. And again, reinforce the gratitude for those most basic of comforts, a warm and dry hearth in a home affording shelter from Mother Nature's harshest elements. Somehow I thought of Southern writer Flannery O'Connor, of her story, Everything That Rises Must Converge, which is a line she takes from French philosopher Teilhard de Chardin, who in his work says, "We are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience." Chardin also believes, "Someday, after mastering the winds, the waves, the tides, and gravity, we shall harness for God the energies of love, and then, for a second time in the history of the world, we will have discovered fire." This brought me around to the end of this month, of Black History Month, to the words of Ron Billingsley, an old friend of mine from Colorado who was once a professor of mine in Boulder, who holds that the only hope for us as a species is to acknowledge we are all of one tribe. W.E.B. Du Bois is of a similar mind in his The Souls of Black Folk. Du Bois begins each chapter with a snippet of relevant verse from a poet or from an anonymous folk song. Chapter 5 features a stanza from New Englander John Greenleaf Whittier, whom many of us know from his masterpiece Snowbound. Whittier spent more than 3 decades as an abolitionist and writes, "O black boy of Atlanta, but half was spoken. The slave's chains and the master's alike are broken. The one curse of the races held both in tether. They are rising, all are rising, the black and white together." Heavenward, a little before sunrise this morning, our waning crescent moon was low in the southeastern sky, keeping company with the teapot asterism in the constellation Sagittarius, the bright star Delta Sagittarii at the point where the lid, body, and spout are joined. Tomorrow morning we'll have a similar scene, only really low on the southeastern horizon. Not long after sunset on Thursday, we have the new moon, the first of 5 new supermoons in a row for 2025. Today in 1208, Francis of Assisi, not yet a saint, was taking part in a mass at the chapel of St. Mary of the Angels and was inspired to devote himself to a life of poverty and to encourage people of the surrounding countryside to devote themselves to penance, brotherly love, and peace. Today in 1582, Pope Gregory XIII announced the New Style Calendar, also to become known as the Gregorian Calendar, which would gradually displace the Julian Calendar in worldwide usage. Today in 1839, the steam shovel was patented by William Otis of Philadelphia. Today in 1964, Buck Owens's "My Heart Skips a Beat" became a #1 U.S. hot country single. Today in 2022, Russia launched a full-scale pre-dawn invasion of Ukraine by land, air, and sea, bombing several Ukrainian cities. Today in 1947 in Boyle Heights, California, welder and mail carrier Pedro Olmos and his wife Eleanor welcomed their new son Edward James into the world. Edward's parents divorced when he was 7, and he was subsequently raised by his great-grandparents. Obsessed with wanting to become a professional baseball player, at age 13 he joined the Los Angeles Dodgers farm system as a catcher. Olmos says, "I was lucky. It could have been drugs, it could have been drinking, but it was baseball." At age 15, however, self-discipline had yet to click in, so almost left baseball to join a rock and roll band called Pacific Ocean. I sang terribly, says, but I could scream real good, and I could dance. Working in the band helped almost pay for acting classes at the East Los Angeles College, and after graduation, along with moving furniture, he earned small parts in television while supporting himself and his wife. His big break came in 1978 with the Tony-nominated play Zoot Suit, followed by starring roles in television's Miami Vice and the film Stand and Deliver. Of his early television roles, usually as nasty villains, Almost remembers his appearance on Hawaii Five-O. "I was the only person Jack Lord shot in the back, ever. That's how bad I was." Today is also the birthday in 1619 of the French classical painter who helped establish the French Royal Academy of Painting and Sculpture, Charles Le Brun. In 1786 of German storyteller Wilhelm Grimm. In 1811 of the freeborn American Bishop of the African Methodist Episcopal Church, Daniel Payne. In 1836 of American painter Winslow Homer. In 1837 of Galician poet Rosalia de Castro. In 1846 of Italian Funiculi, composer Luigi Denza. In 1858, a French bohemian early music musician and instrument builder Arnold Dolmetsch. In 1874, of American Baseball Hall of Fame shortstop Honest Wagner. In 1887, of American writer born in Blue Hill, Maine, Mary Ellen Chase. In 1890, of American actress Marjorie Maine. In 1910, of American swing and bebop jazz pianist Clyde Hart. In 1917, of American jazz singer Myra Taylor. In 1920, of American jazz and R&B saxophonist Eddie Chambly. In 1921, of American actor Abe Vigoda. In 1927, of French actress Emmanuel Riva. In 1933, of American jazz saxophonist Fathead Newman. In 1934, of Italian soprano Renata Scotto. In 1938, of American actor James Farentino and of American sportswear founder of Nike, Phil Knight. In 1941, of American pop and jazz singer Joni Summers. In 1942 of English rock singer Paul Jones. In 1944 of American actor Barry Bostwick and of British rock pianist Nicky Hopkins. In 1947 of American rock and blues bassist Lonnie Turner and of British pop songwriter Rupert Holmes. In 1950 of American singer and guitarist George Thorogood. In 1951 of American actress Deborah Jo Roop. In 1955 of American co-founder of Apple Steve Jobs. 1956 of American Baseball Hall of Fame first baseman Eddie Murray, of American philosopher Judith Butler, and of American telejournalist Paula Zahn. In 1958, of American country singer Sammy Kershaw, and in 1962, of American singer-songwriter Michelle Schacht. From Orono, Maine, I'm R.W. Estella with a word in edgewise. Here's to the 10th week of winter, only three to go into the 9th week of 2025.